Hold on, I lost a thing. Hi, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hey, you found the geek spot this week.
You did. Before we get into everything, I need to take a moment at the beginning of the show. We're going to have a brief moment of silence at the beginning of the show for all the cockroach cowboy fans that sat through that game Sunday and watched Dak Prescott slide 5 yards more than he needed to and then not hand the ball to the official so he could spike it. Let's have a moment of silence for Cowboy Nation once again underachieving. Okay, we're good. Sorry, but I needed to do that.
Hey, look, at least he commended the fans and said they should have thrown trash at the refs on their
head. Oh, can we please stop shitting on Philadelphia fans after that? I know we're not a sports podcast. I know that we're going to get into the nerd world, but I just needed to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that the Cowboys lost again and underachieved.
That's fair.
Yes.
I mean,
now I feel good.
Yeah. If you want, Nick Foles as an Eagle has more wins in the playoffs than the Cowboys since 1997. So
he does. There's another record. I think it's the Cowboys are, they've made the playoffs and not reached the conference finals for 11 straight years, which is a record. But that's all the sports talk I wanted to do. It's just take a little sprinkling of a dump on Cowboys fans all over the world.
That was nice of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
I don't care. I get enough crap anyway.
That's true.
So welcome back. It's been a week.
Same to you. Why don't we see how you weren't feeling great? What happened to you last week?
No, I honestly work. I was run down, and it was just two of the guys on my team were out last Monday, and it just kind of overwhelmed. Wasn't COVID. I'm COVID free still.
Well, that's good.
Knock on wood. Sorry, Hudson.
Oh, the year's young.
It is. I'll probably get it when Unicron comes. Or Ultra Magnus or whatever's coming next.
Yeah, I think that's going to... Well, Omicron, I think Optimus is next.
Optimus is next, and then Unicron is...
Yeah.
Until we start back at the A's again.
He's the evolution.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was just a... I just needed a recharge week. And then I stupidly went and played hockey Wednesday night, and then I stupidly went and played hockey Friday night.
It's a lot of hockey.
My body felt it. Revolted. Sure did. Yeah. My flesh prison hates me. What about you?
I've been busy. Not much on the gig in front. January's been a little quiet, but lots on the content watching. I was so excited for the show last week. We didn't have that much going on. I watched a bunch of stuff last weekend. Getting ready for the Golden Globes and was like, I should probably see some of these things that are nominated for some stuff. I ended up on Andrew Garfield and Jessica Chastain binge. All weekend. Okay. Well, my wife and I watched Miss Sloan, which we've never seen, which isn't recurrent at all, but it's with Jessica Chastain, which then I ended up watching Tick, Tick, Boom with Andrew Garfield on Saturday.
Yeah, he's hot right now, isn't he?
Which is he's fantastic in it.
Hi to Jack's mom.
It's I would recommend Tick, Tick, Boom to anybody. It's great.
Okay.
It's the story of the guy that wrote Rent. It's the one man show he did before Rent.
Okay.
Which is like an autobiographical musical about him writing the musical he wrote before his one man show. And like how he got there. It's great though. Andrew Garfield was fantastic.
Does he sing in it?
He does.
Does he got
never
chops?
He'd never sung before.
No. Does he got chops?
He's fantastic. Yeah, he was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that one. Then I finally caught up on the old No Time to Die.
Oh, I haven't gone there yet.
I bit the bullet. Hey, how Dylan, thanks for joining, man.
Hi, Dylan. How many hours did it take you to watch?
Like four and a half. I think we took some breaks. It was fine. It's tough because you know, as much as I appreciate the mythology of the MCU and DCU and all those things, I'm a little more invested in those.
Right.
So I remember those. It's tough when it's like the fifth Bond film with Daniel Craig and they're referencing things from the first one.
Yeah, this is one of those weird ones where you kind of have to actually have had to pay attention 20
in
years
all
ago.
Of them.
Yeah.
In every Daniel Craig movie, if you didn't, you're kind of like, I don't know who this is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way I feel about the Mission Impossible movies.
Those I'm caught up on.
Because, like, but I watched someone with Cavill, and I'm like, I feel like there's callbacks to other movies that I should remember that I haven't watched in 15 years now.
Right.
Because I've seen the first one like a dozen times, and that's it. I've seen the rest of them, but I saw them once.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember. I've seen the first one enough that I could get a callback to that one, but I don't remember any of the other ones.
Right. Well, like enough. In the last one, spoilers for a 6-year-old movie. And they brought back his wife in the last one.
Right. I had to
go back. I didn't remember they were married at all.
Nope. No clue.
She was anything.
Yeah, I had no clue. But I'm a big Rebecca Ferguson fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's great.
Yes.
And then I went from that into The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Oh. Okay.
Which is Jessica Chastain and Andrew Garfield.
Oh.
So it's Jessica Chastain as Tammy Faye Baker, Andrew Garfield as Jim Baker.
Oh, that sounds like a must watch.
And Vincent D'Onofrio as Jerry Falwell.
Okay, you sold me. You sold me on that.
It's great. But it's like from the time Tammy Faye was like a little girl and coming up and meeting Jim through the fall of Jim and Tammy Faye. It's great.
Okay. Where's that at?
HBO Max.
Okay.
But it was fantastic. I'd highly recommend it. It reminded me of all that stuff that I was on my periphery because of the age I was when it was going on. Like, I remember it all.
I remember it, too.
I wasn't involved in it. Like, I didn't realize that they're the ones that started the 700 Club.
Right. I remember that.
You still see it at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings if you leave the wrong channel on.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I watched all that and caught up on the Golden Globes, saw some of those winners. And then Sunday, I think I watched like 13 hours of football last week.
Oh, football. Football. Yeah, I don't care about football anymore.
And then I just binged White Lotus this weekend, trying to catch up on all the awards stuff.
There is definitely a show that I want to see that I just saw the finale. So I read something. I was looking for stuff to talk about, and I came across a finale that just aired. And the person that wrote the article, and I didn't read into it, I just wrote the headline, but they said that it was very reminiscent of Lost, and that grabbed me.
Oh, no.
Now I must go watch Yellow Jackets.
Oh, on Showtime.
Yeah, so now I must watch this show. If it's a Lost-esque show, I really like that kind of TV.
There was a crossover that we'll talk about later with Yellow Jackets and Book of Boba Fett this past week.
Yes, there was. Yes, there was.
In the chat, Dylan, we 100% agree with you on Peacemaker's opening.
Yes.
I've been singing that song nonstop since last Thursday. And listening to all of Wigwam's Wigwam. I don't know if it's Wigwam or Wigwam. To their whole catalog, because they're super fun sleaze metal. Which I also just learned the term in the last week, sleaze metal.
I did not know sleaze metal was a thing.
That's glam metal now. It's called sleaze metal.
Gotcha.
Because they still sing like you did in glam metal that you can't sing like anymore without being sleazy.
Right.
And Hitmonkey Charles, I think we talked about it a while ago.
We did mention it.
Hitmonkey was great. I tore through that whole series. My 13-year-old watched like an episode and was like, what is this? I'm like, you probably shouldn't watch this. But yeah, Hitmonkey was fantastic from start to finish. I'm excited for, I hope they're going to do a season 2. I haven't heard one way or the other, but both the Marvel shows that made it to Hulu, that and MODOK, were both very good. I can only imagine that Howard the Duck wouldn't have made it as well as that did. And the Tigra Dazzler show probably wouldn't have done anything good.
Wasn't Kevin Smith with the Howard the
Duck? He was. It was Kevin Smith and I think one of the guys from Rick and Morty.
So it would have been a very dialogue heavy show.
Yeah, which would have been fine, but I don't like Hitmonkey was so good. Just like
surprisingly I'll add that to my good. Invisible list.
Yeah, but that was it was fun. It's a quick watch too. It's like six episodes or 30 minutes long.
That's not bad. Mm-mm. All right. So the first little thing, before I go to that video game thing I told you about before, we got a couple of reboots and revivals. Ooh, this is always fun stuff. Is this
coming
this
up? Or yes. Ones that we're stuck with watching.
Nope. Stuff coming up. This kind of crap can go either way. So first is a brand new pilot episode of NBC's cult favorite sci-fi time travel series Quantum Leap has officially been confirmed, with original series star Scott Bakula potentially returning as well. So Quantum Leap ran from 89 to 93, ran for five seasons. And the quote from an NBC executive was, "It's been 30 years since Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap accelerator and vanished. Now a team has been assembled to restart the project in hopes of understanding the mysteries behind the machine and the man who created it."
It'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, so far it's just a pilot.
I mean, Bakula's free.
Yep. Yep.
NCIS New Orleans just went off the air.
Yep, and he's not heading up any starships anytime soon.
No. speaking of Charles in the chat, checked out The Colony too. What's that on? Is that I've seen it. I just don't remember. I flipped through so many streaming services lately. And was that the series finale or just the season, Charles? But yeah, I think a new Quantum Leap would be cool. I mean, I think you have Bakula for an episode.
Yeah, kind of a handoff.
I think Karate Kid. Oh, we didn't even talk Cobra Kai, did we?
No.
Did we?
No. Yeah, maybe we did. Yeah, we did. I think.
Yeah. Oh, it's a movie, The Colony. Oh, okay. I'll have to find that. I think they're going so far into the nostalgia piece where they're just like, let's bring this person back. You're starting to see some of them be a little bit too old to pull off the roles.
A little bit.
Cobra Kai, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters wasn't that bad. Cobra Kai isn't that bad. I mean, what's his name? Ralph Macchio. He's the same age now that Marita was.
He's older now.
A little older now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're doing – it's not like it's a heavy stunt-laden show with him. He's throwing a couple kicks here and there.
No, it's the kids.
It's great.
You know, when they fight in the middle of the day in school.
Right, because that's what happens when they, you know, when they ruin someone's house. That's cool.
Right, when they hold a kid down and shave his head, that doesn't end up getting somebody sent to jail in today's age. Not at all.
Not in the Valley. Maybe somewhere else.
Yeah, in the Valley of all places is where nothing happens to you when you do that. Yeah.
Revival, I guess, nearly a year after it was announced that the project was in the works, FX has confirmed that a Justified revival is happening officially, with Timothy Oliphant returning as star and executive producer. The project, subtitled City Primeval and inspired by Elmore Leonard's novel of the same name, we'll see Raylan, now living in Miami 8 years after leaving Kentucky and balancing his life as a marshal and part-time father to a 14-year-old girl, as he must go to Detroit to deal with the thoroughly elusive Oklahoma wild man, Eric Schreier. That's a lot of words.
Well, you're the Justified expert.
Let me tell you. I didn't watch. So my dad got me into watching Justified. And I tapped out after like the second or third season, just time constraints. And, you know, I was working with the band all the time. I went back and finished it, started it over and finished it. It was absolutely awesome. Really, really, really good TV. Great writing, good acting. Walter Guggins is phenomenal in that.
He's phenomenal in everything he
does.
He's
absolutely awesome in everything. Watching that made me want to go back and watch The Shield, and I had to kind of pump the brakes because some people think I watch too many things I've already seen.
I don't know who would ever say that.
I don't know.
How's the Office going?
Season 8.
Yeah.
Season 8. Robert California is back. But anyway, so that that looks like it's happening, and I'm excited. I mean, Timothy Olyphant really just plays one character. He actually guest starred on The Office for a couple episodes, and he basically all but played the same character.
Oh, no kidding.
Without a gun. Yeah, he's just, yeah.
Yeah, I know you still haven't watched it, but my favorite Timothy Olyphant is still Santa Clarita Diet.
Yep.
He's so funny.
It's on my list of probably maybe get to one day.
Probably never. Yeah.
It's possible.
Especially because there's not going to be season 4, which is really upsetting.
Oh, well, then I have plenty of time. Now, during an interview on Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You podcast, Michael Rosenbaum, who used to play Lex Luthor.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, I heard that somewhere. Zachary Levy revealed that he is close to making something happening with a Chuck reboot. He recaps that he has been trying to make a reboot since 2012 and adds that with how prominent streaming has become, it would be easy to make and release something. He says that the time is nigh and that he has had promising conversations with the two creators before addressing fans and noting that it will happen one day.
Does he need it? I guess he just wants, he probably just likes the character, I suppose.
Maybe. I never finished that.
I never started it. So some of these shows, like, you know, Dylan mentioned Dexter in the chat a few minutes ago. Like, a lot of these shows came out when I was gigging 6 nights a week.
Right.
So
I missed a bunch, you know, too.
As wonderful as DVRs are, I wasn't videotaping things back then because it was way more complicated than it needed to be before a DVR.
Yes.
To remember that you didn't change the TV to the wrong channel before you left.
Oh my god!
I mean, it was easier when the VCR used to be your TV control, but once cable boxes were in, it was a wrap.
Yep.
So, but I that was one of those shows.
Yeah, I watched maybe two, three, maybe a season or two on streaming. I never watched it live. I did hear, like Dylan mentioned, the Dexter finale. I didn't watch Dexter, but I from what everybody had said, the original series finale was terrible and ruined the show or something close to that. And this finale actually held true to everything.
And I think they may have wrapped it up with this. I don't think there's going to be a season 2 from what I've heard, but I'm not sure. And then he also said Scream, which I totally forgot that came out this past weekend.
I totally forgot too. Not my genre.
Oh, the third. Yeah, that's true. The third best behind the first two. The third one was, when did Jamie Kennedy come in? Was he the third one? The third one, I think, is when they were making a movie of Scream.
Oh,
it was like Robert Englund's, like when the Wes Craven's like did the movie of Nightmare on Elm Street and a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it had Parker Posey and all them. Jamie Kennedy was in the first. He was in the first one.
Greek to me. Our friend Tim Allen, he's going to be returning to the North Pole. Yes, he is.
I saw this.
He will star in the Santa Claus sequel series on Disney Plus. The original movie was released in 1994. Earned nearly $200 million at the box office, and then launched a franchise, the Santa Claus 2 in 2002 and the Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause in 2006. The sequels became less successful, received a worse reception with each installment, leading Disney to end the franchise as a trilogy. This new series is tentatively titled The Santa Claus, C-L-A-U-S-E, comes from Jack Burdett, the creator of Allen's recent hit series Last Man Standing. Production is expected to begin in March 2022 in L.A. and follows Scott Calvin as he tries to find the next Santa Claus. No release date.
Wonder if it'll bring back the whole cast. That'd be fun.
Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yeah, we watch those movies. That's one of the only Christmas movies that I end up leaving on every year when it comes on. Martin Short's great in the third one.
I never saw the third one.
He plays Jack Frost.
Yeah.
And the third one tries to take over the North Pole.
Yeah. I tapped out after the second one.
And it brings in, I want to say it's Anne Margaret and Alan Arkin.
Oh.
Come in as his wife's parents.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic.
I think I saw
it's super fun.
I think I saw a piece of that on TV. In a little bit of a darker show, The Boys, season 3, will premiere its first 3 episodes on June 3rd, and the Herogasm storyline will be adapted into an episode slated for June 24th. So the way, so they released this, the full schedule. So you got June 3rd is you're going to get episode 1, 2, and 3.
So it'll be episode 6.
So June 10th is the episode 4. June 17th is 5. June 24th is Herogasm, the only one with the title. July 1st is 307, episode 7. And July 8th will be the finale.
So that's coming out. 8 episodes feel so short for those seasons, doesn't it?
It just, that's what everybody's doing, is 8 episode stuff.
Which is a toss up for me. I feel like 8's a little short. The 13 everybody was doing was painful. It's like the Netflix series were all pushing 13, and they had about 10 episodes of storyline, but they really wanted to hit that 13 episode mark.
It's better than the 22 episode Flash season we get.
Oof.
Yes, Jensen Ackles is portraying the Captain America type character, right?
A Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy, thank you.
He's going to do the dance too. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
He's going to crank that.
With Cisco?
No.
Oh, that's wrong thing.
Yeah.
That's the Fong song. Wow.
Yes, it is. No.
No.
Yes. Yes. Not even, yes.
Yeah. That's from Legends, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the Legends finale two years ago, season 5.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I am almost caught up. I am on the, I think I'm like 3 back now.
Look, all the CW shows are back full force, man.
Yeah, I know. My DVR. Superman
and Lois was back last week. Naomi premiered.
I went and looked at my DVR, and I was at 0.1 hour like recording. So I had to start. Yeah. Because I still have the Mayans
from
like a season ago that I never watched, and I'm going to end up having to delete for Room.
And every episode. Blacklist. Every episode on FX is like 6 hours long usually.
Yeah. And I have the Blacklist that I'm still not caught up.
5.5 hours of commercials and a half hour of episode.
I can watch it all on Plex without the commercials, dude.
I will do a quick. Yeah, I'll probably check out the new Scream. I don't think I saw any of them except for the Drew Barrymore one in the theater, Dylan.
That's the first one, right?
Yeah, and that was a long time ago. But that one I saw in the theater, I think that's it. Maybe the second one. But most horror movies, I typically end up getting disappointed in the theater when I go to see them, because I went to see Us, the sequel to Get Out, or the movie after Get Out from
it's horror.
Jordan Peele. It's a psychological thriller. Gotcha. Not horror. But I was severely disappointed. I am psyched to hear that Scream did a good job. I'm getting old and cranky though, so it's tough for me to get into the new kids of stuff. Speaking of that, so Naomi,
yes,
one of the new CW shows, I would recommend. It seems pretty cool.
Okay.
I don't know what her power set is. I know she's a newer character in general. But it seems pretty good. The acting's really good so far, which is always nice for a CW show to have that as a thing. And then Legends came back. Batwoman's back. Batwoman brought Bridget Regan and is the OG Poison Ivy. I don't know if you remember Bridget Regan. Legend of the Seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in 100 things since then. You would know her in a heartbeat if you looked her up. So she is the new Bridget Regan. Regan. But the new Batwoman is really good. They have like a Joker character in there, Poison Ivy in there. So they're doing a nice job mixing that around without having a Joker, same as Gotham did.
Right.
The show feels, once the show leaned into it, like halfway through season 2, it's gotten very Gotham-esque, where it's just like, we're going to be batshit crazy.
Like Legends did.
And just lean into it. Yeah, that's the point they got to. They didn't have Ruby Rose being like, we can't do this. They're just like, full throttle. Let's see how far we can go before we get yelled at.
I should do that.
The Flash, I don't think they have, you know, Grant Gustin still wants to be a serious actor at some point.
He was on Glee, for Christ's sake.
He was. So is Melissa Benoist, and now she's a children's author.
Is she? Good for her.
Children's book. Her and her sister wrote one.
Oh, good for her.
Her real sister, not not Lexi.
Yes.
Not Lexi Gray.
Yes.
Sorry.
Tyler Lee.
Kyler Lay, yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't she Lexi? Yeah. On Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. Oh. Deep cuts.
Yeah, it is. Not me. No, thank you.
She was originally Meredith's younger sister that came in. Anyway.
Yes.
What other reboot you got? What do you
not reboot? Not back? Reboot, but I got the few video game movies coming out this year. There's a few of them. First up, we got Uncharted, February 18th. I'm actually looking forward to this.
Wait, that's soon. I thought that was later.
That's like a month. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big fan of the game. And right now, Tom Holland's, you know, as hot as they come in Hollywood.
Yeah, I love the games. I'll have to see the movie to get sold on Tom Holland as that character.
Well, that's it. Is you're gonna have to look at him as not Peter Parker as an action star, and then you're gonna have to look at him as an action star back as Peter Parker when he comes with the next Spider-Man.
You're also gonna have to look at him as not 15 years old,
right?
Because he still looks. I get that he's built now, but he just looks like a built high school junior.
Yep. I know. April 8th, Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey is all in.
Jim Carrey's...
His Dr. Robotnik, he just leans so far into going like, I'm going to be as batshit crazy as it ever was.
Knuckles, voiced by Idris Elba.
Yeah, that I don't get.
Tails, Colleen O'Shaughnessy. And human friends Tom, played by James Marsden, and Maddie Tika Sumpter.
Yeah, the first one was fun. I enjoyed the first one.
December 21st is the untitled Chris Pratt Mario Brothers movie.
Nope. When?
December 21st.
That's soon.
And it's untitled.
That's really soon.
That's within this year, yeah.
Yeah, that's like barely a year after the announcement. That's not normal for animated stuff.
No.
Though the fact that they cranked Sonic out as fast as they did is really impressive.
So we got who we got? We got Chris Pratt, Charlie Day as Luigi.
Yeah, nope.
That's a good casting. Charlie Day is great.
He's Irish.
Anna Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Jack Black as Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad.
Yeah, he'll be great.
And this article says, and perhaps the oddest of all, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
Yeah, no. And
Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong is already being considered for a spinoff movie. He must be sensational then.
I think the problem with most of those people, though,
mm-hmm.
is they're just them.
Right.
So I was having this conversation the other day, right, about in the show White Lotus I was watching. There's some actors in it that, like, you know they're cast just to be them. Like, Jennifer Coolidge is in it.
Right.
Jennifer Coolidge is essentially the same character in everything she does. You know who Jennifer Coolidge is, right?
I do.
Yeah. But you don't cast it to be like, let me get your range. Like, you cast her because you want that quirky character in there.
Right.
You know, and there's so many actors that are like that right now. Like, Ryan Reynolds at this point. You cast him to have Ryan Reynolds in your movie, not Ryan Reynolds play a character in your movie.
Correct.
Right. And all of those actors that you listed for this Mario Brothers movie,
mm-hmm.
none of them, I feel like, will go and be Mario or Luigi or Bowser. Yeah. Like, it's just going to be Jack Black saying Bowser lines.
Right.
Right. Which is frustrating.
It is.
From a standpoint of characters that have been established for like 40 plus years. Right, which that's my thing with that. Like, that nothing about that movie sounds appealing to me.
I'll just get rid of that now.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, look, I guess you made it when you get trolled like that, right?
Yeah, they probably followed us over from that One Band's page.
Oh, yes. They're doing great movie reviews over there.
They really are.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, that's my toss-up with a lot. Same, you know, and it's just a lot of these movie stars. Like, I think, like, somebody like Chris Evans isn't Chris Evans in every role.
No.
Like, Robert Downey Jr. is Robert Downey Jr. You know, mm-hmm. regardless of the role, he's not, like, different as Tony Stark versus Sherlock anymore. It's just versus Dr. Doolittle.
Well, that's what I...
Robert Downey Jr.
That's what I said about Timothy Oliphant. Like, literally, he is.
Yeah.
He's the same. His character in Deadwood is his character in Justified. Is his character here? Is his character? He is the same person across every single one of them.
Which is why I was saying Santa Clarita Diet's so nice.
Because it's a break from his normal.
Because it's so, and like right. I said, and he's hilarious.
We have one more, two more movies. They're TBAs. One is Borderlands, which I'm kind of, I'm curious about. I'm a big fan of the game, again. This one has Kate Blanchett playing character Lilith. If you're familiar with the games, who's hired to find the missing daughter of Atlas, who is Edgar Ramirez. Roland is played by Kevin Hart, which I really don't get because Roland in the game is not a comedic character whatsoever. He's more serious.
Maybe it's Kevin Hart taking his serious turn finally.
In a video game movie?
I mean, look, if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Tiny Tina is played by Ariana Greenblatt. Krieg is a psychonaut played by Florian Mutianu.
Pretty sure you're just making up words now.
Yep. And Dr. Tanis is played by Jamie Lee Curtis. And of course, Claptrap is voiced by Jack Black. Claptrap is...
That he sounds just like Bowser.
Yeah, Claptrap is all comic relief. The whole thing. Very comic relief. I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens with this. Eli Roth is directing it. So.
All right. That's,
I don't know.
It's interesting. I like Eli Roth.
So do I. And I love Borderlands, the games. Like, I've replayed them all a handful of times.
I'm sure you watched his show on AMC that he did, The History of Horror.
Oh, I don't have AMC. Sorry. No, if it's got horror in it, I'm not there.
Yeah, I know. But he did a neat series where he like went back to the different genres and the early horror movies and like dug in.
Right.
And had like people like Greg Nicotero and all those guys come out and like speak to him. All your favorites.
Yeah, I Greg, of course. Duh. Greg or Craig?
Greg.
Greg, got it. And this one I didn't even know was a thing until I looked at this article, but hopefully heading to Netflix in 2022 is The Division, based on the 2016 video game sporting the Tom Clancy brand. Have you ever played The Division? Do you even know what it is?
No, it's a spinoff of Rainbow Six, right?
Not necessarily a spinoff, but it's kind of actually has some very similar lines to now. Is there's a virus that's spread by money that kills so many people, and it's a whole it's almost a kind of post-apocalyptic world. But The Division was a great game. Dylan's played it. I loved it. I had a lot of fun playing in it. Apparently, Rawson Marshall Thurber, who directed Red Notice, is going to direct this. And the cast is led by heavy hitters Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal. Deadpool 2's David Leitch was originally set to direct but dropped out due to scheduling issues. The Division has seen the most setbacks during pre-production and seems the most likely to possibly be bumped to 2023 as it's yet to start filming. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about this until just now.
No, the fact that Jessica Chastain's in it makes me nervous. She's really trying to be this action star.
Oh, this is a high action movie.
Well, she just had an action movie come out that she produced and everything. You may have heard of it. You may not have. I believe it was called The 357.
Oh, yeah. That got some really, really great reviews.
Yeah, yeah. Look, fantastic cast.
Yep. Yes, it
right?
did.
I mean, Lupita Nyong'o, Penelope Cruz, Jessica Chastain. As three secret agents, and there's another actress who I don't know. I believe she's European, possibly.
But not a good movie.
But got no ratings and made $4.5 million the week of its release.
Yeah, yeah. I think we went over that when we talked last, that was one of the box office movies.
Yeah.
The division here. So The Division is set in a near future New York City where a viral pandemic has led to chaos, destruction, and uncertainty for humanity's survival. This is not.
You don't want to make that right now.
No,
Because it might be a reality show by the time this comes out.
It actually might be. Netflix is raising its prices.
Yeah, they do it like every 18 months.
They're bumping you to $15.49 a month, putting it just above HBO Max's $15.
Or if you like 4K, it's $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about this. So I have the higher plan because there's times where there's no less than 2 to 3 people in my house watching Netflix at a time. So it is what it is. However, they really do have the most bang for your buck from a content standpoint.
Sure. Totally.
Like they have the widest selection. HBO Max is actually quickly catching up.
I think Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on there now.
Oh, right? No. Yeah. But
no.
I'm sure it is. It might be. But I'll tell you, when I was watching White Lotus, every time I heard the HBO static intro, I was in a safe place. Uh-huh. Like just that sound.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay.
If my mom didn't live with me, the only reason I have the Netflix extended plan, if my mom didn't live with us, I would get rid of everything but Hulu and watch it all on my brother-in-law's Plex server. Because it's just, he watches live TV off of it.
Yeah.
The only thing I haven't been able to get off of it is Spider-Man. Still haven't found a good copy of that.
I'm sure. Every time you do, it's probably starts off and you're like, why is Tobey Maguire in this damn movie? God damn it.
Tobey Maguire's in it?
I mean, with James Franco, Tobey Maguire.
James Franco? Oh.
Like the original Spider-Man from 2002.
Yes. Yes. I did watch that one. Again. Not recently.
This is why I got rid of things like that. So the movie Split.
Yeah.
That came out a few years ago. My wife and I tried to watch Split on a Fire Stick with one of the apps. And every time we started it, fun fact, there's a bowling movie called Split that came out about the same time.
I hate when that kind of thing happens.
So for 3 months, I would go in and try and watch Split from M. Night Shyamalan. And every time, once it finally finished downloading, and this is, you know, 7-8 years ago, finished downloading and started, this goddamn bowling ball would be going down the lane. And I'd be like, I really don't think this movie's about bowling. And then I'd see it and I'd be like, none of these people are in the movie with M. Night Shyamalan.
Nope.
And different movie. Like 6 months that kept happening. Every like 3 weeks I'd be like, I bet it's there now. And it was never there. So then I was finally done with it. And I think I watched Get Out in Japanese with English subtitles.
Ooh.
I was like, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah. The copy of Spider-Man that I've seen is from some slot website and it's just bad.
Mm.
Do you want me to go before we go over to the DC side of things? Cause we're going to do that next, but we'll hold Peacemaker to the end still. I just want to go to Boba Fett next.
Let's go Star Wars, because we usually do. Okay. We'll go Star Wars, then we'll hit up DCEU, including Peacemaker, to wrap it up.
Do you want to hear about the National Treasure shows cast five new characters?
No.
Okay, cool. I can get rid of that.
I didn't want to hear about the ones they already cast, because it sounds like a horrible show.
Yeah.
It does not sound anywhere near as they're going to really try and plug some crazy shit into the national history on this show now, it seems like.
I can't wait. Speaking of history, Ray Fisher. Our buddy Ray Fisher. So Josh Whedon has been chatty all of a sudden out of nowhere. He decided it's time for him to pipe up and talk about Justice League.
I bet his gag order from the Nevers season one and Zack Snyder's Justice League is probably finally up.
Yeah.
I bet there was one on him for that.
So, Joss has been, where is it now?
He did an interview.
Oh, here it goes. He did an interview with Vulture. And one of the things he said was, if anybody recalls, Gal Gadot said that Joss threatened her career. And Joss's response to that was, This is great. This is a direct quote. Let me go. Quote, I don't threaten people. Who does that? English is not her first language, and I tend to be annoyingly flowery in my speech. Yeah, I was told that I had said something about her dead body and trying and tying her to the railroad track. Unquote. Ooh, boy.
Yeah. She responded to that, by the way.
Yeah. She disputes the same article by claiming she understood perfectly.
Yeah. So that's Joss and Gal. So clearly they won't work together, though. I don't think Joss is going to work for another decade or so. He's going to have to go hide for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. He might get the direct Kevin Spacey in something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, because the Never season two, that's one of HBO's in their 2022 trailer. Uh-huh. Is the next season of that show, which he was not involved in.
He called the entire cast of Justice League he said he has never worked with a ruder group of people.
Yeah, and so, but before he gets to all that, he states that he was told by WB to come in and fix the movie.
Right.
And do all of these other things that WB said, this is what we need to do and the direction we want you to take it.
Right.
So he was just got hired and was doing what he was told.
He also said that Ray Fisher's a bad actor and that he didn't like his acting and that he didn't think he was a good actor, like basically all the same things.
Well, and he said,
"Where is I had it, and I
he
lost
said the
one.
Cyborg story logically made no sense, and that he felt the acting was bad. He also claims he spent hours discussing changes with Fisher, who, you know, then has come back and been very critical of his treatment during filming and after filming and every day since. So, you know, I don't think that story there is done. I think we'll continue to see." Things come out there. Ben Affleck also called it his worst filming experience of his entire career.
The only one that hasn't said anything right now is the one starring in actual movies and TV shows still, and that's Henry Cavill. He hasn't really said anything yet.
I don't think he will.
He wants to play Superman still. So not he's
even
not
that.
Going to say anything.
He seems like a guy that doesn't get into it.
Yeah, like he doesn't care to get into the drama.
I don't think he sees himself as a huge movie star.
Fair
Gal
enough.
Gadot definitely thinks she's a huge a huge movie star. She hasn't really done much, but she thinks she's a huge movie star. Ben Affleck is a huge movie star, so he can be a baby if he wants. That's fine.
Sure. Sad Affleck.
He's still the best Batman in the last 30 years.
I agree. Although that may change.
Ray Fisher needs to just leave Hollywood and not come back. And Jason Momoa clearly makes bad decisions because he left Lisa Bonet and may have gotten with Amber Heard. So,
no, he didn't. Stop.
Oh, it's possible.
Oh, I didn't see that part of it.
You never know.
I assumed he'd be flying over to England to get with Amelia.
Ugh.
They're BFFs. Don't you owe that?
No.
What's wrong with you?
After season two, it was downhill.
Oh. So there's a show that we watched.
One more thing on that.
Yes.
Where was it? Oh, so Ray Fisher also commented at the same time on the new Batgirl, which debuted its
You
costume.
Showed me this.
So they posted a picture of the new Batgirl costume. Looks fine. Looks like a Batgirl costume.
I like
they've
it.
Gotten a ton of backlash online from people because it doesn't. It looks like cosplay because it's the first look of it with her in it, which is they tortured Zach Levy for the Shazam outfit too before the effects were on it. So that's fine. Our good buddy Ray Fisher, though, at the same time decided to make a comment on her post about Jeff Johns still being a racist, which he felt that was the proper forum, which continues to tell me that Ray Fisher just wants to be a baby and needs to.
Why would you do that on? Like they're showing this costume for the first time. Why would you take that stand there for what? Like
Well, and you're complaining that there's not representation and that they're racist and they're doing this. And they rewrote the character.
Which character?
Batgirl.
Right.
To be a different race and to cover and to help with representation.
Sure.
So, like, it. I don't know why you would then go and shit on that.
No, that's low key. That's just not low key. That's really classless to jump in on something like that.
So there's that. And then what did we watch?
So there was this other show. There was a show called Peacemaker.
Oh yeah.
Look at that. Peacemaker spoilers.
It's nice. Look at you. It's high tech. So if you're listening, while we're talking about it, hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you give us that 5-star rating wherever you are listening, Spotify. If people want and let us know, we might get back into doing the polls on Spotify like we were doing for a little while. But if you're on iTunes, drop us a 5-star rating, give us a review. We'll definitely read your review on the podcast if you write one. Mm-hmm. Drop us that line. And now it's time for Peacemaker spoiler, since you can't see the screen there. So you've been warned.
Yes. 46 minute mark is where you want to dip out. If you have not seen the 3 episodes of Peacemaker, just to circle back real fast. Dylan said after Joss pretty much called us too dumb to understand Age of Ultron, I want everything he does to tank. I agree.
He's done very little since Age of Ultron.
Let me start off with the Peacemaker by again agreeing with Dylan. Eagly has stolen my heart. Eagly is by far one of the best CGI characters I've ever seen. That's number one. Before I go into any of the articles and shit that I have, what have you thought of the first 3 episodes of Peacemaker?
I'm sad that Eagly's not played by James Gunn's brother.
Fair point.
I have to give massive props to John Cena for just going for it.
Yep.
The show is absolutely, I sent you a message like when I first started watching it Thursday, yep. I was like, this show is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in the best possible way.
Yep.
And he's hey, we need you to do this. Okay. He's all in. Which is great, like fearless in his acting in it. I mean, he spends half the first episode in tighty whities, which I get he was a wrestler, but still,
it's like different.
It's a lot of time in high def in a studio.
When he wrestled, though, he wrestled in jorts. He didn't wrestle in them little tighty. I think maybe a handful of times, but he wrestled in jorts. So, but even still, it is
the dude's in his mid-40s now. He's not in his early 30s like he was back then.
I don't know how.
He's my age. He's like a year younger or older than me. He's within a year of me.
He is 44.
Yeah.
He's still cut like he was when he was 20.
Oh yeah. But still, you're going to feel a little different some kind of way at that age, you know.
Maybe.
They lean into it. I think they're having fun with the mythos. The fact that they reference Batmite.
Yep. They made that canon.
Amazing. Their take on Vigilante is so much more fun than Arrow's.
Well, I mean, Christ, everything Arrow did was doom and gloom. They couldn't have fun.
No. But their take on that, what they're doing with his dad is fantastic.
The intro
is my favorite thing on television.
So as far as the intro, so when you texted me, I hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. I had a couple of things lined up this weekend that I was supposed to do, and I pretty much bailed on every single one of them because I just didn't feel like leaving the house. Because who wants to leave the house anymore?
Right.
So I sat Saturday and I watched the first episode, and I was like, holy effing shit. Like, wow. Like, this, it was completely nutty, and like you said, in a really good way. Everything about it was funny. And then when they get to the opening dance number, like, oh my God. As far as the dance number goes, they asked James Gunn, who is the worst dancer of the dance thing? Now, before I read this article, I had my thought on who really just wasn't, you know.
Right.
Who would you guess? Out of all the dancers in the beginning.
Oh, see, I know.
Okay.
I know Cena needed the most work.
No.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Was it him? Hold on. So this is the quote. They were great. The dancers were great. Some are better than others. But overall, besides Robert Patrick, I love him. He's definitely not the next Baryshnikov. But besides Robert, who you can see messing up in some of our wide shots, which is very funny to me, they were fantastic dancers, and some of them were really great. Jen, who is a gymnast, was probably the best. But Danielle and Annie, who plays Song, were fantastic. Chikudwe was fantastic. Steve Age was surprisingly really good. They were all quite good dancers. John, he was overall great. It was fun. So Robert Patrick is the one that struggled the most.
Well, that's not a really surprise. Isn't.
That's what I said. I said, so first of all, you're
His moves are hilarious.
But you're getting him to do this.
Right.
You're getting Robert Patrick to do a dance routine at the beginning of your show.
So a couple fun things about the dance part, right? So they asked the guy that plays the custodian if he wanted to do it. He was like, absolutely. So they were filming in Canada, though, and he's only in two episodes.
Okay.
So they were filming in Canada during the pandemic. So to film his dance routine, he had to fly to Canada and quarantine for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God, really?
Again. So three different times during filming of Peacemaker, he had to fly to Canada and quarantine. One, just to do the dance routine.
Wow. But
I don't know if you read the other stuff about the dance routine. So the woman that James Gunn hired to do it, he just hired a choreographer.
Right.
Finds out once she's hired and she's doing it, because she keeps sending him videos of this is what the routine's going to look like. It's Alan Tudyk being Peacemaker.
What?
In the choreography that she's sending him.
So he hired
Alan Tudyk's wife.
That's amazing.
As the choreographer, and didn't realize that was Alan Tudyk's wife, even though Alan Tudyk and him are friends.
Right. That's amazing.
But so, like, if you look, she has posted multiple shots of, like, doing the choreography for the theme.
Haven't even seen that.
With Alan Tudyk doing this Peacemaker moves.
Oh, I have to look. what Gunn did say, that there's a hidden meaning behind each episode's opening credits. And he doesn't want people to skip them. So he said, I know people are going to be able to skip over it. I hope they don't, because it plays a different role in every episode. It just always tells a different story. You'll see as our story gets darker, deeper, and more sad that the dance itself kind of becomes more sad and more serious and less funny.
But I think it's the same opening credits.
Probably. Like,
because I watched them today.
Oh.
Because I saw that and I was like, I got to see this again. But it looks the same.
I watched it on Plex. I didn't watch it on HBO just because I was on Plex at the time and I saw it. So I missed the end credit, all three end credit scenes. I missed.
Oh my God.
Right. So I have to go back and watch those.
The first one's the greatest thing ever.
Right. I read them, but I have to go back and watch those.
Cause, and by the time you get to the third, and since we're doing spoilers, right? So the first one where he's like, oh, well, this helmet gives you scurvy. Why would you want scurvy, Dad? Well, every grown man should get scurvy at some point. So makes it tougher. So, but that that plays now into how this infestation of the butterflies works.
Right.
Where they're a parasite like scurvy that infects you.
It's hilarious.
So that plays back in. But yeah, the end credits have been great.
According to a website, DC ranked the Peacemaker characters by how filthy their mouths were in a three-episode premiere. The vulgarity was spread out rather evenly, with 65 F-bombs in the first episode, 85 in the second, and 60 in the third. Peacemaker himself took the top prize with a staggering 104 F-bombs over the three episodes.
Well, is James Gunn's girlfriend second?
Is that who plays Harcourt?
Yep.
Yep. That's his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Lucky man.
Yeah, get it.
She had 23. Economos had 17. Vigilante 16. Augie 13. And Amber 9. Evan 8. Adebo with 8. Mern with 5. And the rest dropped by various secondary characters.
I think we're going to get a lot more out of Vigilante as we go.
I think so too.
And I'm hoping we get some out of Judo Master, that little guy.
Dude.
He's so cute.
It was so great. James Gunn wouldn't let HBO send out Peacemaker episode 8 to critics because he didn't want spoilers.
Good for him, man.
Just too many things happened in episode 8 that I could not let it get out there.
I mean, James Gunn's at the point where, like, he can do what he wants.
Yes, he can. And
I'm nervous because he wants to take a break after he's done Guardians.
Yeah, but his next project for DC is a TV show.
Well, it's probably going to be Peacemaker season 2, but he said, I need a break.
Yeah.
Which I get. I mean, the dude's been nonstop for, God, what, 10 years now?
Yeah, that's what he said. So when
because even during the pandemic, he didn't take time off during the pandemic because he was finishing Suicide Squad and then filming Peacemaker.
Right. What else do I have?
But yeah, the Peacemaker character was barely in my squad. The ones I read, at least. The Johnny Conamo's character was definitely there. Yep. Harcourt, I don't think was during that stretch. Suicide Squad is next on my list to catch up on the new 52 run, because there actually wasn't a lot of Suicide Squad until like the new 52 in like 2011. Like there was a really awesome stretch back in the mid 80s that John Ostrander wrote.
Okay.
And then it went away. Peacemaker's been around since like the 60s. He's been around forever.
Right.
But they didn't really reuse him until the Suicide Squad stuff. And then the book like popped up with different versions of it for a few years here and there. And then they brought it back with the new 52 when they put Harley Quinn in. But she was never in it until, I don't know, less than 10 years ago. But yeah, she also wasn't in comic books until like 15 years ago.
Right.
Because she was just from the animated show, not the comics originally.
I'm excited. I'm excited to watch that. I'm excited to see where they go with this show. It's just, I mean, I guess it's only going to get nuttier and nuttier as it goes.
It seems like it, because after episode 3, they also had a like, hey, coming up on, or they have a coming up on HBO Max where you can watch the preview for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And it just all looks nuts.
Oh, good. I'm going to dip over to Marvel stuff real fast. A couple quick little things. Can we spoil the other movie yet? Can we talk about that now?
It's been a month.
It's been out a month. Okay.
I do have, hold on. What's the movie or TV show that Braindead reminds me of the direction they're going with Peacemaker?
Okay.
Which Braindead was a show with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. That was fantastic, where all these aliens went through your nose or ear and embedded in your brain and took over like Washington, D.C.
Oh, all right.
But their language sounded like You Might Think I'm Crazy by the Cars. So everybody in the show walked around humming You Might Think I'm Crazy by the Cars. It was a great show. It only made it like half a season, but it was so good. Or one season. But it did get picked up, but it was so much fun. But this reminds me of that with the way they ended up working the butterflies at the end.
Yeah. All right.
The other thing. Yep.
Spider-Man. If you haven't seen Spider-Man, Dylan's also right. James Gunn with an R rating is endless. It's great. He's awesome. If you haven't seen Spider-Man, No Way Homecoming, Back From Home.
Yeah, no way.
No Way Home. By the way, Dom, I did go and see it again today.
Oh, jeez.
I did catch his Facebook post. So this little tidbit that it isn't a spoiler, but what's the guy's name? Vanderbilt. James Vanderbilt is a writer. Okay. Basically said that Spider-Man 4 from Sam Raimi was done. Like they had a completely full script.
Yeah, that's been.
There is a story if you want to look it up. I don't feel like reading the whole thing. Plus we're going to run long if I do anyway, longer. But Andrew Garfield confirms a story of a delivery driver bringing him food when he was in Atlanta. And it was a DoorDash driver that basically broke that he was there because they ordered beer, or the guy he was staying with ordered beer and he needed to see his ID or something like that. It's cute. Oh, it's funny. It's a funny story.
There's a bunch of good ones right now. There's one about him and Emma Stone now too.
Yep. Where he had to keep lying to her. What If season 2 and Secret Invasion reportedly will be releasing this year.
Oh,
I
know they're filming Secret Invasion now. What If season 2? I mean, they had the one in the bag.
Right.
So that makes sense.
An extra one, right?
Well, that was, I mean, they had the one episode in the bag.
Yeah.
Which still doesn't make sense why they pushed it. I mean, I guess that they couldn't finish it, but
based on Marvel Japan's website. I can't read some of these titles, but
is it because it's in Japanese?
It's because it's in Japanese.
You do, yeah. Pete.
Yes,
they're great. They really are. The chemistry between him and Emma Stone is the best of all of the Spider-Man movies.
I agree. Yeah. They really, from the moment they start interacting, it's like,
and you get Martin Sheen and Sally Fields as Uncle Ben and Aunt May. Ignore they have a storyline with his parents that's kind of a pain in the ass, but other than that, they're fantastic. The movies are great.
I mean, and Dennis Leary's in it.
He is.
I love Dennis Leary. And he wasn't all coked up, so it was a different Dennis Leary.
Yeah, it was Rescue Me Dennis Leary.
Yes. Oh my god. That's a great Dennis Leary. That's a great show. Did you watch that show?
Nope.
Oh, so good. Anyway, I digress. There was one more thing from Marvel that I wanted to talk about, and I don't remember what it was now. Oh well.
The Eternals dropped on HBO Max or Disney Plus. Yeah, I keep trying to talk my kids into watching. I'm like, you guys can watch it now. They're like, yeah, we're good. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you don't need to watch it. It doesn't add anything to life.
It will when we go and see all the next movies, and they're like, why is there this huge hand sticking out of the ocean?
No, they're going to ignore that. That hand's not going to be there. It's just going to miraculously disappear.
Was it Morbius getting pushed?
Yes, Morbius did get pushed.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Again, that got pushed a couple of months, I think.
It's April, yeah. I want to know if we're getting a. I hope it got pushed so they can film April scenes 1st. To sneak somebody 1st. In there, because I don't know where they're gonna play, what world they're gonna play that's in. I'm really intrigued to see how they play what universe that's in.
I remember now. Ooh. Letitia Wright's back.
Yay!
She's back on set filming.
No, she got sick again.
Nuh-uh. No, they literally just said, I just saw that she was back.
She was, but didn't she get sick right after that?
I don't care. I don't
feel. I feel like she got COVID right after that.
Just write her out.
hopefully Winston Duke. I'll take him.
From what the other rumor I read, thank you because I forgot his name and I wasn't going to say this, but now that you said that, he reportedly has a much bigger role.
Yeah, look, I'll also take them recasting. I would prefer them to recast T'Challa. I think the character has too much more to do in the MCU, and
I agree.
Is too important of a character,
yes,
to let the actor be the
I agree with the
breaking point of that.
And now for the final spoiler of the evening, Star Wars: Book of Boba Fett. If you have not seen last week's episode, you know that's your fault.
You didn't miss much.
Now. you did miss futuristic Vespas,
or you did, and cyborgs.
Or not futuristic Vespas.
And zippers, which apparently upset some people from the original movies.
So, first of all, let me just say that I do like the series, okay? I really do. But this episode left a lot to be desired. The land speeder chase went on for 10 minutes longer than it should have. And I think it was 10 minutes. So that's...
That was to get all the Easter eggs in. They just had to keep driving.
Oh, God.
The slow speeder chase, exactly. I was gonna say they had to keep driving really slowly around the city to get in all the Easter eggs.
It was bad. And I told you the CGI did not look good. The CGI looked weird for some reason. Maybe it was the daylight, but it did not look like Star Wars CGI. Like what we've come to expect from Star Wars.
But what have we come to expect from Star Wars? Because honestly, but we haven't seen anything like that in.
That's true.
In Star Wars.
That's true. I mean, right?
Saw it in Rise of Skywalker. We were all so busy crying over how horrible it was that we didn't.
It was a good movie. I keep telling JJ that.
Yeah, no, that was Last Jedi.
Same. They're both great.
Yeah, sure. But we were so busy being concerned about how awful it was.
Are the twins puppets or are they CGI'd? I don't know. I don't know if I ever looked that up until.
I would assume with what the Gamorrean guards.
No. The Hutts. The twins, the Hutts.
Oh, I would assume they're practical. I think they're practical.
I hope so.
Favreau's been making sure they go old school and practical as often as they can with this stuff, and then enhancing with CGI as opposed to making it CGI.
So something Tamara Morrison said. Did I say that right?
Probably not.
Yeah. He thinks that.
I think it's Tamara.
Tamara. He thinks that Boba Fett talks too much. He said that in an interview. He thinks Boba Fett talks too much. I don't have a problem with him talking a lot.
My biggest issue with the show so far, and we only talked about the first episode here, so we can take two and three, right? So
sure.
I don't need all these crazy flashbacks, and I'm not crazy about the fact that we're basically ignoring all of the animated Boba Fett stuff.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of animated Boba Fett in Clone Wars and Rebels. And we had Boba Fett coming up as a bounty hunter through all that for the Boba Fett now that's just like this Zen, which is just Tamura's thing now, right? Like he's very into his culture and his heritage, and he obviously wasn't part of the character before, right? He was part of Jango Fett, but he was never part of Boba.
Right.
He never even played Boba Fett.
No.
Until this.
Yeah. No.
The Clone Wars version and the Rebels version gives you such a enhanced story form that we didn't get from any of the other things that I feel like they're ignoring that part. And he definitely, I want to know the before the Sarlacc pit. I don't really care about the after the Sarlacc pit. Like, because he seems like he just gets his ass kicked every episode now.
I was going to mention that also before we go over to the comments. He does, for the most badass bounty hunter in the world or in the galaxy, he really does, and I get it, he's not with his armor a lot of time. He's really getting his ass kicked a lot. And again, granted, he got kicked by the Chewbacca guy. What's his name? Do you know his name? Okay, so Dark Chewbacca kicked his ass.
Yeah, he's from the comic books.
Yeah, and I'm fine. And I get that because he's a Wookiee and they're like super strong and that's awesome. Hopefully that character, and I would suspect that character makes a return later in the series. You can't introduce a badass character like that and then just write him off as running away.
No, well, like I said, he's been like heavy in the comic books, like heavy.
Okay.
And so is another character they kind of pseudo introduced, Doctor or something. I haven't read the comics because Star Wars is pissing me off with the amount of extended universe you have to read.
Right.
To follow it. At least with Marvel, they ignore every other media type in the movies or the comics. Like, they don't care about one another, but Star Wars is like, you need to read the comic books and see the movies and watch the TV shows and read the books. And all this, because we're going to reference all of it in every different one.
So Dylan says that Tamora is apologizing for it being boring to the fans. He doesn't think it's boring. He sees them building a story, and he's a Tusken Raider fan now thanks to that. I didn't have a problem with any of the Tusken Raider stuff. I was okay with giving them deeper backstory. You're going to have to, like, fleshing other stuff out like that is fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think they're spending, like you said, way, way too much time on his backstory. And if you're going to do that, then you make a show about his backstory and not set in the present of that timeline.
Right.
He made a Witches of Dathomir comment, which was neat because they haven't brought that out aside from the video games.
Oh, and dude, maybe
the novels.
They're heavy in Clone Wars. Right. And there's in the cartoon, like super heavy in the
Pete
cartoon.
He said they made a reference to the holiday special, which have missed.
So when he said you can ride a Rancor, he said, I've ridden bigger than that.
Gotcha.
That was referencing his original appearance in the holiday special.
Gotcha.
But I think the part that's disappointing so far with me, and I'm hoping it gets better, is when he came back in The Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
he was still kind of Zen, but he was badass.
Yes.
I have not gotten that from this Boba at all.
No, not at all. I I have hope. We got what, 5 episodes left? Right? It's 8.
It's 8. I'm
Everything's
assuming, yeah.
8. So there's an interview with
No, it's
Ming.
7.
Is it 7? Okay. So in an interview for the series with RadioTimes.com, Ming Na Wen, who I absolutely love. I think I love her and everything she does. But she basically plays this. She's also the one that plays kind of the same character. Mm-hmm. Except in Stargate Universe, she was like a politician. She wasn't a badass. That was only like 2 seasons.
Mm.
But anyway, she said, this is a little bit of a longer quote. She said, I really hope that they want to go back and see the whole thing over again in a different light after, you know, knowing how things have, and I'm so careful with my words here, how things have evolved and all these other elements that have come into play. You know, that's what's so great with John Favreau and Dave Filoni. So basically, to make a long quote short, she says that the finale will change how the fans see the whole show.
Great.
So that's good.
Look, reality is I'm in, right? Like, I'm not going to not watch an episode.
Sure.
But I will say, like, Hawkeye, I would wake up and be like, when do I have time to watch this today? This one, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot that came out today.
I did that, too. Yeah. I don't think they killed his tribe. I didn't see any kids or the badass female fighter. No, I don't think they killed his whole tribe either. I think some of them got away.
Oh, I think they did. I think they wiped him out. And then we're going to see the badass Boba in the next episode go and take out the bikers. Though, isn't it the same biker crew that's now?
No, that's the mining, that mining group. But so there's all kinds of theories and rumors about the Pikes and who's behind the Pikes. And there's all these theories.
And the Pikes weren't the biker crew gang from the original, right? Okay.
No. The mining syndicate was the ones that were spraying the thing on the huts and all
Got
that. One of the big theories is that this is all going to point back to Darth Maul and what's the group he runs? Crimson Tide or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah, they brought in Solo.
Right. Which
is why Emilia Clarke's going to reprise her role, right?
Look, if you tie back to that, I'm all in again.
But Darth Maul's dead.
No, he's not.
Again.
No, he's not. He is. Oh, wait. Yeah, he is.
In Rebels.
That's right. Yeah, but yeah. Kira.
Kira can show up. She's going to be 90.
From Solo to now. Whatever. Maybe she drank something. Maybe she's a witch.
Solo to now is a solid 25, 30 years, right? 25 years?
Pete, you shush your mouth on that goddess that she is. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a little lackluster. But it's Star Wars, and it's all we have right now. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, look, I don't know what Disney Plus is doing with not announcing dates. Ooh, speaking of that, tonight. If you go watch the football game after this, you will see a full length trailer for Moon Knight.
Yes, I was kind of hoping that would drop before, but we'll definitely get to look at that.
As much as I hate Oscar Isaac, it looks so dope. Show.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a Netflix show, but with Disney Plus money on it.
Hopefully we get a lot of FaceTime with Oscar.
No. Put him in the mask. It's my biggest problem with moving these things from comics to TV and movies. It drives me nuts. Like, I don't care who's wearing the Spider-Man mask. Stop having him take his mask off all the damn time.
Well, that's because it's probably hot under that mask.
No, it's because you're paying for the actor. So you need to show the actor's face.
Right.
That's all of these things. Like, why is Deadpool not wearing his mask all the time?
Because it's Ryan Reynolds. Oh, and
right.
That's right. That's another thing I forgot. Thank you, Charles, for mentioning that. That Danny Trejo showing up.
Who's Robert Rodriguez's second cousin.
I didn't know they were cousins, but I know they're really good friends and all. That whole bit actually makes the thing in Return of the Jedi makes sense. And that was a good retcon where the guy was so crying and upset. That was a great tie back to something like that, because that was a weird scene to begin
with.
Well,
I bet you this is the baby Rancor from Bad Batch.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that would make sense.
Because, I mean, what would be crazy is if we end up – and because Tamura also said that he's down to play Captain Rex and Cody.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
The thing is, like, he was never any of those characters. It was just his face. Like, but it was never him.
Right.
So his approach to all of it's, like, this very, like, zen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, so not those characters. So, like, unless he's going to act, going back to what we've talked about multiple times during this, right? Like, unless he's going to be somebody besides Aquaman's dad, who's the same way he's playing Boba Fett, then... If we get him as somebody different, awesome. But if he's going to be the same, like, mellow, cool, hang loose vibe, I don't need it.
No.
As Commander Rex or as Cody. Like,
no.
Shave somebody else's head and bring it. Make the Rock Captain Rex.
He's got enough to do right now. He can't do anything else.
Nah, he's fine. He has all that Fast and Furious time freed up.
That's true. He does. Fast Five. Okay. But that's all. I mean, aside from one more second of silence for you Cowboy fans that lost in this was your season to win the Super Bowl. You lost to a six seed. That's all I have to say about that.
Dylan, thanks for the heads up on Black Phone. I didn't even know that got postponed. I remember seeing a ton of previews for trailers for it, and it looked good. Not Frank's speed, but looked good.
No, I did see the picture of Ethan Hawke with long hair, and he does.
But I did not realize that got pushed. So, everybody, thank you for finding the Geek Spot with us this week. Tell a friend, have them join in the conversation next week. Drop us a line, like I said, if you're listening on iTunes or anywhere that you find your podcast. Thank you. Give us a review. Give us some 5-star rating if you do drop a review anywhere for us, including on Facebook, and review the site on Facebook. We will definitely read that on the air next week, and we will help you all find your Geek Spot again next Monday night. Thanks for joining.
And both episodes will be up this week because I forgot to put last week's up the week before. So. Bye.